You're listening to 2A Radio with Bill Carnes.
Some people do say that I have a touch too much, maybe come on a little bit too strong. But anyhow, you are tuned in to the Second Amendment Radio Show. We like to shorten that down to 2A Radio. As far as I can tell, it is the only Monday through Friday daily nationally syndicated radio show dedicated to the Second Amendment. Now, of course, we talk about all kinds of stuff, be it Second Amendment rights, First Amendment rights, Fifth Amendment rights, states' Tenth Amendment rights, and how the government is getting bigger, badder, bolder, and just trying to hose us out of everything. You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. RepublicBroadcasting.org is the website. All kinds of great stuff there. Archives are available on the RBN site. It's $1.33 a month. However, RBN is also standing up a second network, the Elected Radio Network, Elected Representatives Network, ERN. If anybody is interested in helping to get that off, that's all self-funded. You can donate a little bit more than the $1.33 a month, $5, $10, $20, whatever it may be. You can go to republicbroadcasting.org and check that out. We also, if you'd like to spread the message, we have generic business cards for RBN. For 100 cards, they're $10. They're full color. They're in a nice glossy finish. They're very nice. I come from a printing background, and I can tell you these are nice cards. They're not junk. They're not some laser printer card that comes off. They're very nice things. If you order those, you can also get an RBN bumper sticker and a free copy of Aaron Russo's America from Freedom to Fascism, which, if you have not seen, is an eye-opener. It is fantastic. So, to order all those things, you can call the regular business office, which is 800-724-2719, or you can mail in to Republic Broadcasting at 2251 Double Creek Boulevard, Suite 302. That's Round Rock, Texas, 78664. And if at any time you'd like to call into the show, the call-in number is 800-313-9443. That's how to get a hold of me right here live. So, with all of that being said, we do have a couple of show sponsors I would like to get to. First of all, you can go to BillCarnes.com. That is all about me. I am the host of the show. I was on the first series of History Channel's Top Shot, which is a shooting-based reality competition show of sorts. I was on season one with 15 other fantastic people. You can, also on there, I have my NFA tab. It says NFA Guns with a question mark. You can click on that. I put together Class 3 NFA Trusts. And that is if you'd like to own any sort of NFA items, the National Firearms Act, be it machine guns, submachine guns, suppressors, explosive devices, destructive devices, I think they're called, and then the AOW, any other weapons. You can own those personally, or you can form a corporation, or the most leeway and the quickest way of getting about it, and the least expensive, is by far, by going through with the NFA Trust. I set those up individually for everybody. Additionally, one of our sponsors is RoninTactical.com. Now, Ronin Tactical features high-end defensive tactics types firearms instructors. And what they do is they're also certified in many of the states to teach concealed weapons permits. So what happens is you get together a group, you get a hold of RoninTactical.com, R-O-N-I-N, they send out one of their certified instructors, and you sit down and you go through the concealed weapons permits, which will get you about 30-plus states between the concealed weapons permits that you'll get wherever you live. It doesn't matter. So they will send folks out to get you set up with that. So go to RoninTactical.com. You can also go to my website, BillCarnes.com, and the show website, 2aradio.com. I have all of my archives there and information about me on both sites. So there you go. Stay tuned, folks. You're tuned in live right here with Bill Carnes and 2A Radio.
It's not an option. It's a right. Cocked, locked, and ready to rock the world of the anti-gunners. You are listening to the guy who had to register his mouth as a full auto weapon. Bill Carnes and Two-Way Radio. The fight for your rights isn't for pansies. So buckle up for the ride and knuckle down with Bill Carnes and 2A Radio.
Poking you like a sharp stick to the eye, little AC/DC, to wake you up this morning. Yesterday, we spoke a bit about New York City and how they're talking about changing the fees on the gun permits and just how a constitutionally protected, God-given right to keep and bear arms and protect yourself from the scourge of humanity is really thrown under the bus in many, many places around the country. Traditionally, large metropolises, metropoli, big cities, what is a metropolis? Officially 500,000 people or more across the country tend to have the most restrictive, unconstitutional anti-gun bits of, be it city ordinances, county ordinances, or state laws against guns. Well, New York City's no different. Matter of fact, here's something new. If you happen to be maybe a bad driver, are you in debt? Well, a proposed New York City law would ban you from owning a gun. Listen to this. New York City residents who want to own a gun may soon be denied permits if they are litter bugs, if they're bad drivers, or if they've fallen behind on a few bills. Under proposed revisions to the police department's handgun, rifle, and shotgun permit procedures, the NYPD can reject gun license applicants for a number of reasons, including the following. If they have been arrested or convicted for almost any violation in any state. If you've been arrested anywhere for any reason, and then you move to New York City, they could use that to deny you owning a gun. Not convicted, merely arrested. Keep in mind that a citation, a ticket, is a cursory arrest. Having a poor driving history. Having been fired for, quote, circumstances that demonstrate lack of good judgment. Having, quote, failed to pay legally required debts. Being deemed to lack, quote, good moral character. Or if any other information demonstrates, quote, other good cause for the denial of the permit. Good cause for the denial of the exercising of your constitutionally protected rights. Interesting. Critics say many of the restrictions are vague, have nothing to do with one's fitness to own a gun, and are unconstitutional. I don't know that fitness to own a gun, be it physical or mental, was ever mentioned in the Constitution. However, I do have to say I do agree. Crazies should not own guns. Supporters say that new restrictions will make gun purchases more efficient and don't give the NYPD any more power than it already has. Well, you're looking at this through dung-shaded glasses. According to a report of the Governmental Affairs Division, the changes came about as the result of two recent Supreme Court decisions. Really? In D.C., in District of Columbia versus Heller, D.C. versus Heller, the court found that a District of Columbia law banning the possession of handguns in the home was invalid due to the rights conferred by the Second Amendment. And in McDonald v. Chicago, the court applied that right equally to the states. As a result, Councilman Peter F. Vallone Jr., chairman of the Public Safety Committee, there shouldn't even be one, introduced a proposal to lower the city's fees for gun permits to ones more accurately that more accurately reflect what the city spends to issue them. Really, it won't be a profit center any longer. He says, quote, now the fees are going to be much less, and they're going to have a relationship to the amount of administrative costs that are involved. And in that way, it will withstand the Constitution and the court challenges that most people expect will be coming down the road. That's what Vallone told FoxNews.com. The current $340 fee for all pistol licenses would be lowered to $70 for a premises license and $110 for a carry license, $110. Rifle and shotgun permits would drop from $140 to $65. Costs for license renewals would also be significantly reduced. Can you believe that? If you want to get a pistol license right now, the fee is $340 when they believe the administrative cost to actually do it is $70 in what's got to be an inefficient system anyhow. Can you believe this? Five times profit. Five times the profit for the city on these gun fees. Now, with the lower fees, the New York Police Department also introduced revisions to the police department's gun permit procedure, which, unlike Vallone's bill, need only approval from the mayor's office, not the city council. Vallone says, although I do not have oversight capability, and I can have a hearing on it, I don't have any formal say on it, according to Vallone. Councilmember Dan Halloran says those revisions are intended to give the police more power to deny licenses, which could counter a possible spike in gun ownership triggered by the lower fees. You're right. You've been violating their rights. And now you want to be able to counter that by giving the police the power to say, yeah, you know what? You were arrested for whatever back in the day, back in South Dakota. You know, you hadn't pulled off the highway far enough when you went to change your tire. You got cited for that. You can't have a gun here in the Big Apple. Wonderful. Let's see. But Halloran and Vallone say the proposed restrictions give the NYPD so much authority that they violate the Second Amendment. Guys, if you're really interested in the Second Amendment rights not being violated, all of this would be flushed down the commode. All of it. The fees, the permitting, all of it. It's all unconstitutional. You cannot charge someone and permit them and cause them to have to pay a fee to exercise a constitutionally protected right. You can't do it. You cannot force me to pay a fee, go through some sort of a class, and have a permit with an expiration date on it to practice my religion. Or my free speech. You can't do it with a gun either. Now, they say, quote, the disqualification categories are downright scary. They're completely open to interpretation, and they really don't measure anybody's fitness to own a gun. That's according to Halloran. He pointed to a restriction stating applicants can be denied if they've, quote, been arrested, indicted or convicted for a crime or violation except minor traffic violations. Well, they're right. So now the city can deny a permit for a building code violation, a sanction ticket for failing to sweep the sidewalk, an array of non-criminal acts. Very good insight, gentlemen. Another troublesome restriction, Halloran said, is that there's one that allows permit denial if, quote, the applicant has failed to pay legally required debts such as child support, taxes, fines, or penalties imposed by governmental authorities. So people who are in foreclosure or have a credit card judgment, maybe filed bankruptcy, can now be legally denied this permit to own a gun in New York City. Applicants can also be denied under the new restrictions if they've, quote, been terminated from employment under circumstances that demonstrate lack of good judgment or lack of good moral character. It seems to me that it's more of an application to be Pope than a gun owner, Vallone said. I don't know anyone who would pass this thing, anyone who has ever tried marijuana or has a bad driving history, lost a job regarding lack of judgment, those are ridiculous criteria for gun ownership. Well, I'll tell you my interpretation of this is, buy a gun, own a gun, keep a gun, hold a gun. And then line up a bunch of guys like Second Amendment Foundation, maybe good attorney you know, for if you ever get arrested for this sort of thing, fight the whole damn thing. Look, I don't need a permit to exercise anything guaranteed by the Constitution. That's all it is. That's my looking at it, guys. Stay tuned. There's more coming at you after the break. RoninTactical.com has certified concealed carry training specialists that travel to you and your group of self-protection advocates. Organize a group of friends, family, or co-workers who take their responsibility of self-protection seriously, and RoninTactical.com will send out a certified training specialist who will provide a course of instruction that will get you and your group certified to carry concealed in over 30 states while providing you, the organizer, a commission for organizing the event. Do you travel for work, family, or vacation and want to remain armed and safe when traveling? Contact RoninTactical.com for details on staying home and having one of our certified professionals travel to you to provide the training and credentials for you and your group to safely and legally carry concealed in over 30 states. Call 888-416-4809 or go online to RoninTactical.com.
Tell everyone in the room to pipe down. Two-Way Radio with Bill Carnes is back.
You know, I'm a fan of really telling it like it is, if those of you haven't figured this out. You probably haven't been listening to the show for very long. I don't mince words. I don't beat around the bush. I don't know if I've ever had a time where anybody ever said to me, Bill, why don't you quit beating around the bush? I don't really know what you're trying to get at. Unless, of course, they were jesting, but never seriously. Case in point, when we have a gun-free zone, I'm the type of guy that would carry some sort of a sticker that would slap it right underneath that that says, victim-filled zone. Such as those people that drive around with bumper stickers all over, the stickers are plastered all over the back of their vehicle about, you know, vote for this scumbag Obama and Obama Biden 2008 and, you know, Harry Reid in Nevada or, you know, vote Michael Bloomberg from here. Just these scumbag lefties. Pelosi stickers, things like that. I'd be the type of guy to pull off a sticker that says, I vote for douchebags and stick it right on the back of their car. A buddy of mine had some made up. I have a few. I've used them. That's just the way I operate. So for those people who would feel otherwise safe in a gun-free zone, they're not the ones who are generally in the gun-free zone. They are some sort of official that creates a gun-free zone, and they never actually have to be in it. They're in a zone which is protected by those with guns. Well, two more people are murdered inside of a gun-free zone. There was a double murder last Friday at Park, Ohio, in Cleveland. A business had a no gun sign posted. But as we have seen demonstrated many times, killers and thugs don't obey these signs or the provisions in which they are there for. The victims always do obey them. And in this case, they're dead. Maybe that was part of the killer's plan. Go to a gun-free zone so I can get away with murder, literally. The accused killer was a former employee. Now, keep in mind, the places where people go berserk and there are big gun deaths are places of work where you work or have been fired from work, places of education, houses of worship. Generally, all three gun-free zones. The accused killer was a former employee. He knew company policy and protocol. He likely knew of the no gun sign and that neither his victims nor any of their co-workers would be able to stop him. Police say Graciela Morales was shot and killed in her car in the parking lot. Then the killer used her ID to enter the building where he killed Eduardo Pupo. Park, Ohio has layers of security. A company ID is required to gain access into the building. The killer simply took the ID from his first victim to gain access to his second. It's amazingly simple to get through all layers of security if you are the only one with the gun. The killings were apparently motivated by jealousy. The killer reportedly had a prior relationship with the first victim and believed the second victim was currently involved with her. It does not matter if his beliefs are true or figments of his imagination. He acted and killed two helpless people in a gun-free zone. No business wants crime on its property, and murder of employees is among the most devastating. So why put up a sign banning guns? Why adopt a policy prohibiting employees from having guns? Why make your business attractive to people who want to kill your employees? We know that something like 90% of multiple victim killings occur in the few places that citizens cannot protect themselves with a gun. They are premeditated killings. They are planned to succeed. Why do you never hear about such killings in a police station or at an NRA convention? Because they wouldn't succeed. Everyone has a gun. It's so painfully obvious. It's almost laughable. It's really quite ridiculous. So maybe you don't want everyone carrying a gun inside your business. Fine. But why on earth would you erect a sign telling the world that you've gone to the trouble of disarming everyone else inside? The no gun sign tells everyone you are a safe haven for killers. Any thug with a gun can go about his business undeterred. Knowing that everyone he meets has been disarmed only makes his job easier if he's in the homicidal mindset. Response time is critical to saving lives. Police cannot be everywhere all the time. They never are. Most times they're only able to clean up the mess after the killings, as was the case last Friday in this double homicide. But the victim is always present, even though the cops are not. Imagine if Morales, had a gun in her car and could have stopped her killer. Would have been over. Probably wouldn't have made anything other than local news. But no, odds are any business with 50 employees or more is going to have a no guns, just call 911 policy. Employers should be sued by their employees for making them a victim-filled employment office. Stay tuned, guys. More to come after the break. I'm your host, Bill Carnes, right here on 2A Radio.
You're listening to a guy who packs a gun to shoot the bad guys and packs a mic to shoot his mouth off. Bill Carnes and 2A Radio are back.
Welcome back, folks. I'm going to read to you an article that is entitled 12 Crime Statistics That Make You Wonder What Is Happening to America. It's actually pretty interesting here. For about a decade and a half, crime rates in the U.S. have generally fallen. That's the good news. The bad news is that even during those good years, the United States still has the most car thefts, the most rapes, and murders in the world. And even though the U.S. has the most people in prison in the entire world by a large margin, there are all kinds of signs that there are still enough criminals out there for crime to start moving back up again. Sure, there are some areas that are still recording small decreases in crime rates, but there are other areas where the jump in crime statistics is more than a bit alarming. There are millions of Americans that have been out of work for over a year at this point, And when people lose everything that they have, they tend to totally lose it. People get desperate when they lose their homes and they don't have anything to eat. For example, police in Chesterfield, Virginia are investigating 16 separate incidents just this month in which thieves stole food or drinks from homes, cars, and even people just walking on the street. It wasn't money that these crooks were after. They just wanted something to eat. As the economy gets even worse over the next couple of years, it is inevitable that we're going to start seeing a lot more of this kind of thing. Frustration and anger are on the rise from coast to coast, and when people don't feel like they have anything to live for, they become very dangerous. As mentioned at the beginning of this article, it is undeniable that violent crime rates are significantly lower than they were 15 or 20 years ago in many areas of the nation. An unprecedented standard of living fueled by our addiction to debt has kept most Americans fat, happy, and generally sedated. However, there are indications that we are approaching a turning point, a moment when crime rates start to go up significantly all at once. In fact, there are some forms of crime, such as sexual crime against children, that are already at ridiculously high record-setting levels. For example, how in the world did we ever get to the point as a society where we have 400,000 registered sex predators running around? And that's only the registered ones, guys. That's not the ones who haven't been caught and convicted yet. As the economy continues to unravel, things are not going to get any better. In fact, people who are suffering are only going to become more desperate. Already, there are quite a few troubling signs out there. The following are 12 crime statistics that make you wonder what in the hell is happening in America. Number one, the murder rate in New York City has increased more than 15% in 2010. And the number of rapes has shot up from 943 in 2009 to 1,075 so far just this year. Number two, in the city of Detroit, crime has gotten so bad and the citizens are so frustrated by the lack of police assistance that they've resorted to forming their own organizations to fight back. One group, known as Detroit 300, was formed after a 90-year-old woman on Detroit's northwest side was brutally raped in August. You get the 300 connotation. You know, like the whole thing, the Battle of Thermopylae? Is that how you pronounce it? Thermopylae? Let's see, number three, crime in Miami Beach was up almost 11% during the first half of 2010. The murder rate in Tempe, Arizona is now the highest it has been in 10 years. Tempe, a suburb of Phoenix, a couple of big colleges in Tempe. Not that that has anything to do with the murder rate, I'm just letting you know about the town. Shoplifting is completely and totally out of control. According to the National Association for Shoplifting Prevention, every single day, Americans steal more than $35 million worth of goods from retail stores. Who pays for that, guys? You and I do, because the cost of everything else goes up. Which is then a vicious circle, because then more stuff gets stolen because people can't afford it. Price keeps going up, 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 up. Inflation, devaluation of the dollar. Today, number six. Today, there are approximately 400,000 registered sex offenders in the U.S., Number seven, U.S. authorities claim that there are over 1 million members of criminal gangs operating inside the U.S. According to federal stats, these 1 million gang members are responsible for up to 80% of the violent crimes committed in the U.S. each year. It's the 80-20 rule, guys. 20% of all criminals commit 80% of all crime. 80% of all crime is in some way, shape, or form related to drug or alcohol abuse to support those habits when you get it all boiled down. Number eight, the median age of the victims of imprisoned sex offenders in the United States, the average age of imprisoned sex offenders in the U.S., 13 years old. Can you believe that? Now, there's a lot of people in their 30s, 40s, 50s, and 60s that are imprisoned, but there are so many who are young, that the median age is 13 years old. For those of you who would like to know why, I'll take a stab at it. It is lack of good parenting. If you are not a good parent, your child will not be a productive, good, honest, law-abiding member of society. If you are a good parent and parent properly, the chances of your child growing up to be an honest, law-abiding, productive, good, solid member of society are tenfold over them not being such a human being. Number 9, the crime rate in the San Diego school system is escalating out of control. The following is what San Diego School Police Chief Don Braun recently told the press about the current situation. He says, quote, violent crime in schools has risen 31%. Property crime has risen 12%. Weapons violations have gone up almost 8%. That's just in the San Diego, California school system. Statistic number 10, 53% of all investigated burglaries in the state of California, New Mexico, Nevada, Arizona, and Texas are perpetrated by illegal aliens. 53%, over half, of all investigated burglaries in the states of California, New Mexico, Arizona, Texas, and Nevada, all border states except Nevada, are perpetrated by illegals. Number 11. Law enforcement officials estimate that about 600,000 Americans and 65,000 Canadians are trading dirty child pictures online. They also say that the total profit from the creating and trading these images is approximately $2 to $3 billion every year. So we have 400,000 registered sex offenders and estimated 600,000 more. Some of them might also be part of the 400,000. Let's say it's more, are involved in child porn pictures online. Wow. That's the same number that they figure are in organized gangs across the country, about 1 million. Number 12. Each year, one out of every five people in the U.S. is victimized by crime. No other nation on the planet has a rate that is higher. No other nation on the planet. Really. Does that include Iraq? What about Mogadishu? I don't know. I don't know if they're including those, but that's pretty scary. 20% of the U.S., people in the U.S., are crime victims every year. So when will the police step in to protect us all from all of these increases in crime? Well, unfortunately, the answer is pretty obvious. Police forces all around the country are being slashed because the money just isn't there anymore. So all of us may soon be facing much more crime with much fewer police to assist us. Imagine this. If some of the police who are laid off join the ranks of the criminals only because they're forced into it. They lose their jobs. They can't find new ones. They can't pay their bills. They lose their houses. They can't afford food. And now they have a very unique skill set on how crimes are perpetrated successfully and unsuccessfully, so they know the right way to do it. They know police responses. They know police investigative techniques. They are very, very efficient criminals. Now, talking about all the police layoffs, for example, because of extreme budget cuts and police layoffs, Oakland, California Police Chief Anthony Batts has announced that there are a number of crimes that his department simply will no longer respond to due to lack of resources. The following is a partial list of the crimes that police officers in Oakland, California will no longer respond to because the chief said so. Burglary, theft, embezzlement, grand theft. Here's a funny one. Grand theft dog. Somebody steals your dog that's worth over $500. Identity theft. False information to a peace officer. That's really kind of a misnomer anyhow, because cops are allowed to lie to you, but you're not allowed to lie to them. Whatever. Let's see. Required to register as a sex or arson offender. Dump waste or offensive matter. Loud music. Possessing forged notes. Passing a fictitious check. Obtaining money by false voucher. That's like forgery, right? Like you create some sort of a fake check or check washing or, a fake money order or cashier's check. Fraudulent use of access cards. We talked about access cards in an earlier segment about a guy who killed a woman and used her access card to go into a place of business and kill somebody else. Stolen license plates. Embezzlement by an employee. Extortion. Attempted extortion. False personification of others. Meaning impersonating someone else. Injuring a telephone or power line. Interference with a power line. Unauthorized cable TV connection. Ooh, there's a big one. And vandalism. Now, these are all crimes, reported crimes, that Oakland, California PD will no longer respond to because of cutbacks. They don't have the manpower, the facilities, the ability, whatever, to do this, according to them. If they were run more efficiently, maybe they would. I don't know. I'm not there. I don't know the inner workings of that department. Now, not that Oakland wasn't already a mess before all of this, but how long do you think it will be before total chaos and anarchy reigns on the streets of Oakland? This kind of thing isn't happening just in Oakland. The Sheriff's Department in Ashtabula County, Ohio, has been reduced from 112 deputies to 49. And now there's just one vehicle remaining on patrol to patrol all 720 square miles of the county at any one given time. At any one given time, they may have only one patrol vehicle for all 720 square miles of the county. So, what in the world are the citizens of that county supposed to do to protect themselves? Well, Judge Alfred Mackey said the citizens of the county should do the following. Quote, arm themselves, end quote. So, is that where all of this is going? Every man and woman for themselves? The truth is that there are already many counties across the entire U.S. where it is simply not a good idea to go out of your home at night. There's never been a bigger gang problem in U.S. history than we're facing today. There's never been more sex predators running around. And millions of Americans are going to become increasingly desperate as they lose their homes, can't find jobs, cannot afford to feed themselves or their families. So, they're going to prey on anyone that they can in order to eat, clothe themselves, provide shelter, take care of their kids. These will be crimes of necessity. Who their victims are not going to matter. It's going to be a for each his own in a lot of the mindsets here. Look at, this is really what's already happening in Detroit. Detroit has been this way for a couple of years now. And every single day after day, week after week, month after month, now year after year, it's getting worse. It's getting worse. Detroit, the only city in America I'm aware of where you can buy a house outright on a piece of property for $4,000 or less. It's a complete home, guys. You're going to have to take things under control If you don't already own guns and know how to use them, if you're responsible enough to be able to protect yourself and to protect your family, which is what you sign up for when you get married and have kids, you should now. Stay tuned. More to come after the break. If you live in a state which allows Class 3 NFA firearms and accessories, and you either have an interest in or already own Class 3 NFA items, the process for an individual to own these items includes photographs, fingerprints, obtaining a letter of permission from your police chief or sheriff, and a full personal background check which is spread across the whole federal system. Until now. Forming an NFA trust eliminates the requirements of letters of permission and all personal data and background checks in purchasing and possessing NFA firearms and accessories. NFA trusts offer a level of anonymity as well as flexibility in the purchasing, possessing, and storage of your Class 3 NFA firearms and accessories. To learn more about forming a secure and flexible NFA trust at a fraction of the cost from attorneys, visit www.billcarnes.com and click on the NFA tab. That's BILLCARNS.com and click on the NFA tab.
As long as politicians attack our rights, Bill will be fighting for them. Two-Way Radio with Bill Carnes is back.
Back up, I'll take you on.
All right, everybody, it is Friday. I want to thank everybody for having been tuned in throughout the week. It's been a week like every other. There's a lot of fighting to try to retain our rights, whether it's our First Amendment rights, whether it's our Second Amendment rights, whether it's the states fighting with the federal government over their 10th Amendment rights. It's a constant battle. We never seem to get away from it. And here's the thing that really seems to hold true. We have people in legislative authority, whether it's from your local town all the way up to and including the entire Congress, both houses, the House and the Senate. And we have people in those positions of authority when it comes to legislative creation that aren't really too concerned about your rights. Unfortunately, they are not referring to the Constitution, the U.S. Constitution, the federal Constitution. And at the state level and below, they're not referring to the constitution of that state. And they're just randomly passing all this legislation, a lot of which inhibits your rights and mine. Then we end up with an executive branch, be that from the president down, into the law enforcement and police ranks, to where they now begin to enforce this legislation, which is otherwise unconstitutional. Until someone gets arrested and fights on its constitutional authority by spending a lot of money with somebody other than a court-appointed judge, court-appointed attorney, then we end up having problems where we have to try to find things to be unconstitutional. Then that doesn't necessarily mean that the legislative branch will repeal anything, rewrite anything, or the executive branch will ever enforce things differently. We need to fight at the legislative battle. We need to fight at that level first. That's our primary battleground, the legislative battleground. We need to essentially replace anybody and everybody who has a voting record that would subvert your rights, which quite honestly, folks, is probably 90%+ of those people from a town, city, county, state, and federal level, which are elected to do such things. You need to get in touch with the people who are elected officials, who are also elected into the executive branch, such as city attorneys, district attorneys, attorney generals of your states, and let them know that you'll be fighting and fighting hard to make sure that unconstitutional laws that are already on the books come off of the books, and we no longer have to deal with them. It's up to them not to enforce unconstitutional laws. Thanks for spending your week here.
I'd like to close by saying, to those of you within our government, we will be watching you, in Congress, the executive, and judicial branches all very closely as we organize to save our freedom, liberty, and country. We will not become the subjects of governmental rule.
Thanks for tuning in. Bill will be back tomorrow. Now go side in and shoot straight. The Two-Way Radio Show with Bill Carnes. Learn more about Bill at BillCarnes.com. Send your comments to Bill at 2WayRadio.com. I will not.